Glory to God. Have your seat. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and hearken unto my word. Therefore, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men, and on my servant, and on my handmaid, will I pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be formed into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Mark those words. The day of the Lord. Last days. Watch that. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. As ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God had raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Thou shalt make me full of joy. With that countenance, men and brethren, let me fully speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Say, this Jesus hath God's wisdom, whereof we are all witnesses. Hallelujah. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has set for this which ye now see and hear. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Verse 34. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he said, but he said to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Can you see this? Glory to God. This is Peter in verse 14, standing up to explain an experience from verse 1. Let's read verse 1 into 5. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. So they had that experience. We began looking at that experience last night. Right? Hallelujah. And then we said, how did Peter explain? Take note, when Peter was done explaining, if you read verses 38, when it was done, verses 40 rather, 3,000, 40 to 41, 3,000 people were saved. Hallelujah. 3,000 people were saved when it was done explaining this experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, it makes you see that many times, oftentimes, when the things of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, are in demonstration in a place, especially, I will take it in two formats, in a public place
when the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration or in demonstration, is to the end that souls are won. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Among believers, it is to stir up. It is to stir us up to do the work of God in the earth. There's the work of God in all the earth. So when the things of the Spirit are stirred up, that is to say, after this meeting, there is the stirring of the Spirit to do the work of God in all the earth. Hallelujah. That is, listen to me, that is the heartbeat of the Spirit, the heartbeat of God from Genesis 1. That the work of God, that His work is done throughout the earth. Paul will categorize it, or Paul will summarize it to be, to have all men saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. He said, who would have all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Hallelujah. Jesus, when He was within the 40 days, He gave them instruction. In Matthew recorded that instruction, Matthew 28 from verse 18. He tells them to go and make disciples of every nation. Hallelujah. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, take note of what He said. Make disciples of every nation. Nations, the whole world. God's vision, God's dream world is that all men be saved. In Mark, He tells them to go into everywhere. He said, go into all the world. Hallelujah. And preach the gospel. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. He said, they will speak with new tongues. He said, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He said, they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord working with them. What did they do? They went forth and preached everywhere. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Everywhere. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, He told them, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now remember, I told you that is after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? You receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, what is the effect thereof? He says, you will be witnesses of me. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So the stirrings of the things of the Spirit is to see that His work is done. That's why He gave up the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's why He gave up the Holy Ghost. To make sure His work is done in all the earth. So when the things of the Spirit are in demonstration, or the gift of the Spirit are in demonstration, it's not for a personal self-aggrandizement. Some people do it. They want to focus, oh yeah, to make that, let me show them that I'm a man of God. No. No. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit are not for showmanship. It's not for show. Hallelujah. I see some people sometimes say, don't you know, I'm a man of God. I'm giving you this revelation. It must tell. It's not about you. Hope you're hearing me. It's not about you. It's not about you. Hallelujah. It's about His tax in all the earth. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. I remember one time, I called for a younger guy. You know what I mean by a younger guy? And one of the pastors there, so we said, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting with this brother. So, I didn't want to tell him anything. But he had gotten himself into some errors. Amen. So he said, we'll just have a Holy Ghost meeting and then we'll just talk by the Spirit to him. So he came and I told him, let's just have a Holy Ghost meeting. So by the Spirit, I spoke by the Spirit to him. One of your pastors here spoke by the Spirit to him. I spoke by the Spirit to him. And that is when you say you didn't premeditate what you say. Hallelujah. We just said we're going to talk by the Spirit to him. So he now wanted to flow back. Amen. He wanted to flow back. He thought it was showmanship. It wasn't. It wasn't showmanship. Amen. It's not showmanship. We're just flowing by the Spirit. Somebody here that's your pastor, that's a leader, that's under my voice, does showmanship when it comes to the things of the Spirit. No! Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It is for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with that. That is, the things of the Spirit are given for our common good. For our common good. For our common good. Hallelujah. So you know what, let us flow back. You know what he said? You know that I can see. He said, there's a black bird. That's what I was meant by there's a black bird flying on top of the roof. What's the meaning of that? Because we already know that he has gotten into error. But we said we're going to speak to him by the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, there's a black bed. I guess you'll be listening to us somewhere. Anyway, then there's a black bed. How? Okay. When it was done. I invited you for a meeting. You came with a right-hand man that carried your Bible. You know that your error is not error. Amen. It's error. Doesn't that? And I'm being man of God, that's a black bear. Some people, all they know about the Spirit is evil. Say, what do you know about the Spirit? Or bad this Spirit? What do you know about the Spirit? They don't know anything good. What do you know about the Spirit? They say, Mommy, what that Spirit? I don't think they know about Spirit. Tell me what you know about the Spirit. All they will begin to tell you is not living. How you carry Bible and be fighting. How do they know about the Spirit? Say, do you know? Okay, now ask them, are you in the Spirit? He says, no. See, there's something called the Spirit. There are people who are. No. Hallelujah. We're going to get there soon. Hallelujah. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the things of the Spirit are not alien to us. Glory to God. I don't know why I'm taking this direction this morning. But they're not alien to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From verses 10, okay, not from verses 9, it says, I have not seen, let us hear him, let us enter into the heart of man and say, what God has prepared for them that love him. He said, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, what things knoweth a man except the Spirit of the man? He said, the things of God knoweth no man except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, he said, now we've received, not the Spirit of this world, now we have received, not the Spirit of it, but the Spirit which is of God. Hallelujah. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God, we have received. What have we received? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. The words of Jesus, speaking about the believers, in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus visited him, and he said to him, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus answered and said, how can a man be born again without going to his mother's womb and be born again the second time? He said, no. He says, except a man be born of the Spirit, and he explained it as water. He did not say water baptism. We'll deal with that in the evening. Hallelujah. He didn't say water baptism then. He said, except a man be born of the Spirit and of water. I know some people are running. Now I'm going to do water baptism. Now it's about to happen. I will not miss heaven. Oh, Jesus. No. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what about that. Jesus says that the man is born of the Spirit and water. Okay. Jesus is referring to the Spirit and he uses water. Hallelujah. He said he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to rush down to verses. That should be verse 7. He said the wind blows where it is, and we hear the sound thereof. I can't tell where it comes and where it goes. He says, so is he that is born of the Spirit. He's talking about the believer. I say he's born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. I've not got into my teaching. I'm just getting you around my teaching. Anyway, Romans chapter 8. Amen. Watch to Romans 8. Glory to God. Verse 14. You see, for as many as are led by the Spirit. That word led there is the word ago in the Greek. It means as many that are born. That word is used for to bear. How you bear. So it's referring to the new birth. So it calls the new birth as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So that means to be born again is to be led up by the Spirit. Look at Galatians 3. Hope you're following me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses 2, it says, he called them all foolish, Galatians in verse 1, verses 2, he said, this only would I learn of you.
Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Meaning they've received the Spirit by faith. Hallelujah. Verses 3.
It says, are ye so foolish? Haven't begun in the Spirit.
Meaning to be born again is to begin in the Spirit.
Did you see that? Is to start in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So when you hear spiritual, you are in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So when you hear the gift of the Spirit, they are the gift in the Spirit that you have received where you are.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following me.
Glory to God.
So therefore, the things of the Spirit are not to stir up self-ambition.
No.
The things of the Spirit is to aid God's tasks in all the earth.
Hallelujah.
God's work in all the earth.
Not for showmanship.
So yesterday, we began looking at how Peter explained that Spirit. Let me get to my notes now. I went off my notes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, I said to us yesterday, I said, many times, we all think that all Peter knew about the experience was apostle.
Amen.
Many times we think all Peter knew about their experience was from Joel. That's what we think sometimes. That all Peter knew was Joel.
No.
Amen. Joel alone.
No.
Amen. So Peter was explaining that experience. And remember last night also, I told them that when you use the word suddenly there, was not like it happened to them unawares, that they initiated it. We saw that, right? They initiated what happened.
Hallelujah.
But that suddenly was Luke's style of writing.
Hallelujah.
I hope to show us a bit of that later on in the evening tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we said he didn't stay on Joel alone. Amen. He didn't stay on Joel alone. Peter's actually started from Joel, but he didn't end in Joel. So starting off from Joel was like his takeoff text. He took off from Joel. But we saw that he went where? To the psalmist. Right? To David.
Hallelujah.
He explained from David. And when he mentioned David, something that must not be lost on you is the fact that Jesus also referenced David more than any other writer in the Old Testament book. Jesus referenced David almost all the time. David and Moses, he mentioned them almost all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that shows you something. It shows you something. So let me call back something. So when he said, this is that which is spoken by the prophets, is he referring to, okay, though he narrowed it down to Joel. I told you something last year. I'm going to repeat it again. What do they call the Bible? Jesus had the Bible. Jesus used the Bible. Just the same way Peter did. I said, how? He did.
Hallelujah.
Jesus used the Bible. Jesus had his Bible. So where were they reading from? I showed you yesterday. Luke 5:39. Let's see that. Jesus said, he said, you search the scriptures. So what did they have as scriptures? He said, you search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. So that means they have scriptures, right?
Hallelujah.
In Luke 24:27, it says, I'm beginning at Moses. Am I a bit fast? Am I fast? Eh? No or yes?
No, sir.
No, I don't want women students to answer me. Am I fast?
No, sir.
Are you women? Are you not women students? I don't want women students to answer me. Am I fast?
No, sir.
Okay, I'm good, right? you guys are used to me already, so don't answer. If I judge based on you, if I judge based on you, what I'll be teaching you today. So I'm not gonna use you to judge.
Amen.
Okay, Luke 24:27.
Yeah.
It says beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Do you see that?
I was referring to the scriptures, and it says beginning as Moses and all the prophets. So that means another name they call scripture is Moses and the prophets. Did you see that? Look at verses 44. He said, these are the things that spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things, verse 44, must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of, in the, come back again, in the law of, in the, and in the, concerning, did you see that? So another thing they call the scriptures is the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. What are you following me? So many times when you hear writers of the New Testament called the prophets, they were referring to the Bible. And what they had as Bible was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. What they had as Bible was Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not written then. The same way to where each writer of scripture, or each writer of scriptures, were writing from the previous writer. So that means any other writer after Moses will be referencing Moses. Did you see that? They were writing like that. You see it all through scriptures. They were writing backwards. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we have Genesis down to Revelation. Some people say, I showed you yesterday that Jesus read from Moses. Jesus read from the prophets. If you get to Acts 28, Paul read from Moses and the prophets. So, what is that thing that people say Moses is gone? Old Testament, we are not reading Old Testament. It's not true. Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled it. Okay, let's say Jesus has fulfilled it. Peter still read it after Jesus has fulfilled it. Amen. Paul still read it after Jesus has fulfilled it. So, where is your fulfillment? Say, no, we pass the law. We are now in grace. Just tell us that you are lazy. Say, law. Close 10 commandments. Enter New Testament. There's no law in the New Testament. We only have grace. Please. New Testament is full of instructions. And it's the same laws. Some people don't know. They will pass law. No longer law. You call law is legalism. Calm down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 first. It says rejoice forevermore. It says pray without ceasing. Is that an instruction? Is that not law? Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Is that not instruction? See, there's no instruction in the New Testament. Let me give you. So you don't know what you are saying. Amen. I'm not talking 10 commandments to peace. Won't get there. We'll see. We're not in this. Not in this conversation. Hallelujah. Amen. So very important. So what they had as Bible was Genesis down to Malachi. Don't miss that, because it's going to come alive in our study this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, and the way they wrote, listen, they were to write about the incarnation of Jesus. They were to write about the incarnation of Jesus. They were not writing stories. No. Even Jesus himself, when he resurrected and met his disciples. Sorry. Okay. We're going to leave there. I guess I was running too fast. Okay. When they were to write about the incarnation of Jesus. Right? They didn't write about the incarnation of Jesus as story. They didn't write about it as tales by moonlight. Let me tell you one Jesus. Jesus Christ. No! That was not how they talked about the story of Jesus. Go and read the Bible. Look at where we read after the Apostle chapter 2. Look at how Peter spoke about the incarnation of Jesus. He said, let me give you Jesus. There was a guy that was born. His name is Jesus. No! Do people have that gift? They did. If you read the book of Mark and Matthew, Jesus told them not to tell people that he was the Christ. Bible says the more he told them, they went ahead and they broadcasted this news. So that means Jesus' news was in town. Amen? Jesus' news was in town. Everywhere. This one guy called Jesus. That was why when blind Martino saw him, he shouted, Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, how did he see?
Oh, sorry, like that.
How, when he heard about Jesus, he said, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. How did he hear about Jesus? His news was in town.
Hallelujah.
His news was in town.
Glory to God.
But it's not. But that was not how Jesus wanted this story to be told. That's not how he wanted this story to be told. Because his story is not a mere story. It's not. Look at how they wrote about the four gospels. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, look at how Matthew will put it. Everybody, let's go there fast. Matthew 1:1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Watch that. He used the word the generation. That is the word in the Greek Genesis, Genesos. Where you have the word Genesis from. He said, the book of the Genesis. It's telling you that what I'm writing here will be from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's making you see that what he's writing from is from the Genesis. And he calls the Genesis, Genesis. He calls the Genesis of Jesus. The son of David, the son of God. He gives you another background to the book of Genesis as the book of sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. He said he is the Genesis. He calls the Genesis of Jesus. So the Genesis is not also a creation story book. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they didn't write about it as mere stories. They were writing the incarnation as scripture fulfilled. That's how they were writing it. Scripture fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and why did you write like that? Is that writing because they expect you to, they expect that you should not be detached from the 39 books when you read the four gospels. When you read Matthew's account, Matthew is telling you, do not be detached from the 39 books because you are writing scripture fulfilled in the life of a man, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is why all through the book of Matthew, you will find him say that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophets. Did you see that? He's taking your mind back again. Just in Genesis, in Matthew 1:23. Look at Matthew 1:21. He said, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled. Did you see that? That which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. Now he goes again to Isaiah. Did you see that? I told someone one day. He said, his name is Emmanuel. I said, his name is not Emmanuel. And then, when the Bible says that, I said, go and read it again. Then we went and opened the scripture and said, oh, I thought his name is Jesus. Amen. But look at what Isaiah said. He said, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son.
And he shall call.
Come on.
Amen.
No. Amen. Okay. Amen. He says, and they shall call, and a virgin shall be with a child, but this is the name, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Now, he leads Isaiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you to see that the birth of Jesus will. In the birth of Jesus, you will find the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Amen? And that will be Isaiah 7:14. In the birth of Jesus, you will find the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that God will be with us. Hope you are following me. Hope you are seeing that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see Mark. Let's see how Mark writes his own synoptic. Mark 1. Mark says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same thing again, he calls the beginning. Arche, Genesis. A shape for the word Genesis. Beginning. He expects to go back to Genesis. And look at what he did in verse 2. He says, as it is written in the prophet. Did you see that? Every writer is writing so that you are not detached from the 39 books. As it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. So the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. So he reads Malachi into Isaiah. You see that? And he's writing about the incarnation. And then he's reading Malachi into Isaiah. So you cannot read the four gospels and be detached from the 39 books. No. No. So anybody that tells you, I don't know who they are, that tells you the 39 books is done away with, or calling the Old Testament book is done away with, is not telling you the truth. Because you can't be detached from it. You can't. There's no way you will read the four gospels and you will not go back to the 39 books. So you can't be. You can't be detached. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. You can't be detached from it. Glory to God. Amen. We can read all and all. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So you can't be lost on you. Those seeds. That they were not just writing stories. They were writing scripture fulfilled in the life of Jesus. I showed you yesterday, even the death of Judas. When Peter was to explain the death of Judas, that because he wanted to replace it, he read from the Psalms to make you see that that event is scripture fulfilled. Hope you are saying that. So that means the event of the four gospels is scripture fulfilled. Never get detached from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it will be wrong for you to say it is very wrong. It is heresy. Heretic for you to say Genesis to Malachi is done. It's wrong. Don't say that. That is those for lazy Christians. They just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. Amen. And that someone said, don't even read the book of Revelation. It's for those who will miss rapture. And they began to give, they began to tease. Jesus joined them in their tease. And I said, what thing are you talking about? And they were just saying, are you aging? Are you just the things that have been happening for the past 3 days? Jesus, so they spoke about him with unbelief. Hallelujah. In verse 25, Jesus responded to them and said, oh fools. In all that the prophet has spoken. Amen. That's better. It is up not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Now watch this. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now what things concerning himself? The things that we were discussing concerning his days. So Jesus spoke to them about his death. He told them about his death from Genesis down to Malachi. The event of his death. He made them see it from the scriptures. Did you see that? He didn't. This is his own. You know, he would have said, ah, can't you see me? Can't you recognize me? It's me now. It's Jesus. Can't you see me? Let me even just see. When I die there, you know, when I die there, let me tell you how heaven is. The spirit of heaven, when you walk like this, come on, give us into all those nonsense. Amen. Amen. Well, one time, someone was giving a story, said someone died, and he said, on his way to heaven, what? I just said the person was in his backyard. He said, what he saw was hearing was Jimmy Reeves. It's not only Jimmy Reeves. It's Tupac, you'll be hearing. Nonsense. Everything that. Amen. Amen. It's funny, but that body was just at his backyard. It's not even news. Jesus didn't even explain his own experience by story. He had to go back to scriptures. Look at verse 44. He got to his disciples, his own Elijah heart. And he said to them in verses 44, he said, and he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me." Within the 40 days, he was telling them about his experience, his death, burial, and resurrection, and he was reading it from the scriptures. How they are saying that? From the scriptures of where Jesus read from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, if Jesus will explain his experience of scripture, it therefore means that God cannot be known or understood outside proper Bible interpretation. You must explain Bible well. That's why in verse 27 we use the word expound. That word expound means to interpret rightly. So Jesus interpreted rightly scriptures. So you cannot know God outside proper interpretation of scriptures. And take note, where Jesus interpreted from was in the Old Testament books. So that means God can only be known from the Old Testament books into the New Testament books. Did you see that? Because the writers of the New Testament books were writing from the Old Testament books. So if in the New Testament books you find God, that means where they were writing from was talking about the same thing. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. You can know God outside that. And that was why in Matthew 19, the Pharisees came to meet Jesus. Pharisees were astute scholars of the law. They came to meet Jesus and they asked him a question. Now this is where you know how to properly interpret. They knew the law of Moses, but they were not interpreting it well. And that is why in Matthew chapter 16, some chapters before now, Jesus warned his disciples from verse 16 to 12. He told them to beware of the doctrines of the Pharisees. Doctrine there is the word didache. It means their mode of explaining. Hallelujah. Jesus never doubted that they had an understanding of the letters. No, they did. Hallelujah. But their mode of explaining it was where there was a problem. They were not explaining well. That was why in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28, the Bible says when Jesus was done with his teaching, started teaching from chapter 5 into chapter 7, verse 28, the Bible said they were astonished at his mode of explanation, at his doctrine. His mode of explaining scripture, for he taught as one having authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. So you could see that distinction. Properly interpreting scriptures is how you know God. So they came to meet Jesus in Matthew 19, and they came with divorce. Hallelujah. And they asked him, they said unto him, verses 3, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" They came with that question about divorce. A divorce is Deuteronomy. That's where that law is. It's in Deuteronomy. And Jesus' response to them was, verses 4. And after that, said, "Have you not read? He that made them at the beginning." Say, when you use the word beginning, is referring to Genesis. Beginning in scriptures many times refers to Genesis. Say, "He that made them at the beginning made them male and female." Genesis chapter number 1. Male and female created he them. You see that? Male and female. Genesis 1. He says, so he's telling them, before you get to Deuteronomy, have you seen how God created them? Hallelujah. And Jesus' response in verses 4, while he was answering a very, in fact, what Jesus' response was, I put it, Jesus dealt with the core of that patriarchal nation. I mean, of that patriarchal culture. They had a patriarchal culture. Amen. Nobody ever talks about the man that commits adultery. But the man that commits adultery will be stoned. So the man can commit adultery. So that was a patriarchal nature. So again, can a man put away his wife? And Jesus said, have you forgotten Genesis 1? You see that? So meaning before you get to Deuteronomy, look at Genesis. How God made them. Hallelujah. He tells you how you should read. You shouldn't read the Bible upside down. From the Genesis, he that made them at the beginning. Hallelujah. How many of you pick up your textbook and you jump to chapter 19 when there's chapter 1 to 18? No. You will be found an unserious student. It's unserious student that will look for AOC, area of concentration. AOC. Sir, can I get AOC? Yeah, the AOC is read everything. Did that teach you everything? Read everything. Yeah, sir, now. Don't be wicked, sir, now. Give me AOC. We will now go and buy key points. Nobody who uses key points gets A. I can tell you, see, the highest you can get with key points is C. Go now. You see a whole above your textbook. You now put inside key points, you can put it in your back pocket. And you want to get A with the person that read above you. You are a demon. How? Key point. The exam does not tell you. Key point will give you key point. The exam does not tell you. List and explain. Key point only listed. You listed. The explain, Nuko. I want to get A. Some people are like that. A is the key point. The only thing about scripture is memory verse. I can recite 10 more memory verse. Key point. Memory verse. 10 points. Key point. No. In the Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1. It's new, but it's key point. Hallelujah. Amen. You did not read. You did not understand log reading in Genesis 1. You did not understand in Genesis 2. That I will do Genesis 3 log reading. How? How do you want to do it? Please, sorry. You. In fact, before the log reading in Genesis 1, you did indices. Whether you did indices. If you watch, most times carry your books, Genesis 1 to 3, you discover that there was a progress on how they taught you those things. Now that I know I don't need Genesis 1, this, I don't need Genesis 2, I'll just do Genesis 3. Log 10 plus log 2. Even me, I have Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will fail you. Remember, I have Zoe. Zoe. I can test my Zoe. To shock you. And that guy, that didn't really came late for his I was speaking in tongues and just passing over front. To shock you. Passing. This is what they told me. I know him. The invigilators were begging me, bro, calm down, write with the next batch that is coming later on in the same day. He said, no, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens his name. Man, God, he is not like 15 minutes to the end of the exam. He said, no, greater is he that is in me. Oh, yeah, right, no verse, right. He was more telling me the story himself. So he was giving me the direct story. That's what those guys are just looking at the answer. You know, many more in the spirit. You are not giving the answer in the spirit. You know, because of yourself, my spirit says D. My spirit says A. Oh, God, blah, 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 B. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then he's not that thing, my phone says. That thing. You know what I told you? Then, I was already in second year. In fact, he couldn't enter school with us. So it was when he came the next year to come and write the same pursue me that we now met. And I told him, and I said, are you the person in that April record? He said, yes, he was wrong. I was in your mouth too. I said, who is that person? I said, that conversation. So he started to go. You know, me there, that was like 2006. And I said, let me tell you, can you mark your results? Even me. ask me what I mean by mark your results. You understand? You know, today, I can't say that you didn't mark your results. And I don't agree with what I'm telling you, you didn't mark your results. Glory to God. So, where are we? Okay, I can see myself where I am now. Amen. So, look at that. He says, he made them male and female. When did he make them male and female? In God's image. Hallelujah. You see that? So let's make man in our image. And it made them male and female. So he's telling you that the main marriage is not between husband and wife. The main marriage is between God and man. They will be found equal in God. That is the main marriage. So when you have a physical marriage, is a reflection, should be a reflection of God's marriage. Did you see that? Between God and man. Female and male and female. Male and female will be in him and they will be equal. Hope you are following me. Then the verse, just go down to verse 6. He said, there are no more things for what God has done together. Let no man put aside that. That word man, let no man put aside that they say all around in different wedding. Wedding. Different, is it wedding now or marriage ceremony? It's not man, let no man put asunder. It's that like, let nothing. And when it was referring to nothing there, that word there is not anthropos. Anthropos is used for man in scripture. That word there is not anthropos. It's actually let nothing put asunder. And when it was referring to nothing put asunder, is what Paul would now say, what can separate us from the love of God? The love of God is the union of God. Say nothing. Did you see that? Nothing. Sin? No. Death? No. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not man, but man inclusive. But not doesn't end with man. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So that's what Jesus is talking about there. Amen. Someone said, Pastor, they officiate weddings. I wonder, we will not have marriage vows. I know you have marriage vows, but you just, I will first of all clear you that before your marriage vow, everything you are saying is taboo. Just wind yourself. It's just whining. Amen. Just like you always have the opportunity once in a year when you are to do your marriage and you see all the sweet things. You are the sugar in my tea. The love in my bones. just continue. What is that name again? My sugar rush. It's not the sugar rush. You call the one in that. Mon amour. You have that, but if you write a tissue, but it's worth me here. Amen. So just slow. But I will forever clear you. Amen. Clear you. But I can't appreciate you. Okay. Glory, glory, glory. Okay. That is 7. Then he said to him, why did Moses command them to give a bill of divorcement and put the woman away? These people are stubborn. All this is all. But this was not the plan. He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, sclerocardia, he says, suffered you to put away your wife. He says, but from the beginning it was not. So where is the beginning? Genesis. Meaning from Genesis, it wasn't so. What wasn't so? There is no putting away in God's marriage. God and man. There's no putting away. Nothing can separate us from God's marriage. Salvation is eternal. Hallelujah. But why did Moses not tell us to put that same money? Because the hardness of your heart. Hardness of the heart there is a short form for numbers. And it's used for unbelief. Amen. It's used for unbelief and it's numbers. So what Jesus is saying is before you get to Deuteronomy, watch numbers. Because it's in numbers you have hardness of heart. So that means numbers is the reason for Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is what Deuteronomy, second law. Do you see that? Second law, Deuteronomy. So why was there a Deuteronomy? Why was there a second law? Because there was unbelief in numbers. Unbelief to God's promise. In Genesis, that we find in Exodus, it was now not that they walked in unbelief in numbers, and then there was a second law. Did you see that? What are you following? So God will now permit them now say, okay, you know what? This is it. And Moses was doing it, as we're going to see in the second section this afternoon, the reason for it. God is now going to permit some things. Amen. They're going to borrow some things from their culture. Just to explain God's work. Hallelujah. Amen. So, look at it here. So, Moses talks about in Genesis 2, he talks about the Izar. The Izar. He said, I will make him an helpmeet. The helpmeet there is not the woman. The helpmeet there is God. But God now shows, then Moses now writes the woman. For you to see a woman. And then you now see that he now gives them the deed of divorcement to put away their wife. Showing that it is man that would divorce God. In unbelief, not God.
putting away. Once you are in God, God doesn't divorce. Hallelujah. But where will you find divorce? Man will be unbelieving towards God's path, God's commandment in the end. Hope you're following that. Very vital. And you have to see it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's see something else. Matthew 22. Jesus was done with these guys. And then Matthew 22, another set of people came, the Sadducees. Sadducees, they believe there's no resurrection for the dead. Okay. So they want everyone to catch Jesus. How do they do it? Jesus. How did you call that thing? Jesus, no, not Zoe now. Jesus Rema. They came to test Jesus. Huh? Let's see if he. You know, so you, in your world, they say, let's know whether he knows it. Two more. So, one more day. You know the way it goes. Yeah. I'm learning it. Verse 23. And they came to services. We said that there was no resurrection. I asked him, Master, Moses said if a man died and has no children. So they bring something in their culture. Moses said, and they always want, because they saw him coach Moses a lot, they always want to do, they want to use Moses to attack him. Then Moses said, if a man marries a wife and dies and has no child, the brother now marries the wife, no child. That one died too. The third born married, no child. That one died too. Fourth born married, no child. Till the seventh born. And at last, all of them died. Before, would they stay forever? They all died. Now, then, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Resurrection. Jesus answered and said to them, say you err. That is, you walk in error. Say, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Hallelujah. Say, for in the resurrection, they are neither given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. Hallelujah. He said, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. So that means, listen, he said, you are not knowing the scripture. The scripture, there is it Genesis to Malachi, or Genesis, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Not knowing the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So that means, if you don't have a good understanding of scriptures, you will walk in error. That is what Jesus is saying. If you don't have a good understanding of scriptures, this time, Genesis to Revelation, you will walk in error. And your worship of God will be false. Just like the Pharisees. Just like the Sadducees. Not knowing the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times, and you won't even stop them. Many times, what people know about God is not different from what Job knew about God. Some people think Job is a what is Job? The God I want to be like Job, very upright man. Very upright. Before you say nonsense, you know who Job was. Some people, what they know about God is just like Job. Just like Job. You don't know anything about God. What you know about God is what people say to them. Look at Job 42. Look at what Job said. Job 42, verse 5. I guess you've seen a bit of this in church, right? Some weeks back. Now it says, verse 5. He said, I've heard thee by the hearing of ear, but now my eyes see thee. Hallelujah. This is what Job is saying. After Job has suffered from chapter 1 to chapter 41, you know what he said? And I said, he says, look at what he said. He confessed, so he said, verse 5, I have heard thee by the hearing of ear, but now my eyes see thee. I see thee. Hallelujah. So, when you hear that word by the hearing of the ears, it means by popular opinion. So, all that Job knew about God was what people said. What was known around. Did you see that? What was known around? This is the same thing. What's happening? Hallelujah. This is the same job that people quote. Now imagine you only read Job and you read it to the end. You only read chapter 1 to chapter 4 and then you stop.
Amen. Imagine you just read Job, chapter 1 to chapter 10, and you stopped. Meaning everything you know about Job,
or everything you know about God from Job, will be what you know
about what, by popular opinion. He said, I have known thee by the hearing of ears. Meaning Job didn't even study. And this is Job that people will quote during burial ceremony. Dust will come, dust we are going. Job said, I did not know you God. This is the same Job. Glory to God. And some people are just like you. Common things around. Heaven help those who help themselves. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Where is it in the Bible? You can't see. By popular opinion. Someone has said, God gave her a sickness because God wants to deal with her. How can God deal with you with sickness? Say, God is trying to test my faith. How? How is God testing your faith with sickness? Amen? God wouldn't use sickness to test your faith. Hallelujah. Say, I believe the reason why I'm poor is because God is trying to deal with me to be humble. Or God, go and make money. Stop deceiving yourself. Go and make money. But some people are like God. Some people, all they know about the spirit is what they knew from Nollywood. All they knew from Nollywood. All about the spirit. Somebody one day. Okay, this is better. Amen. Glory. Not only glory. Okay. So let's go ahead. I think I'll have to be fast though. I'm eating, I have to be fast now. Amen. So, some people, what I know is that just popular opinion, just like Job. Hallelujah. Job was going to say, God give it and God take it. And it is in the Bible, no? It's in the Bible. Check and see. It is inside Bible, but yet it was popular opinion. God give it and God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is it the Bible? Blessed be the name of the Lord. God give it and God take it. And who said it? Job. For he said it before Job 42. Did you see that? mouth, what does that show you? Popular opinion. Hallelujah. It's not that God was just there. He felt God was dealing with him. But wasn't God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, a serious Bible student must take Bible study seriously. Read Bible together. Don't be dull. You just picked up Job and you read chapter 1 to 4 and you say, I want to sleep, I'll come back tomorrow. Read everything that day. Let go finish. If you are reading a book, read the whole book one day. Spend time like that. Don't get detached. Because the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. It's written as it was written in paragraphs. So you have to read everything together to understand what the writer is saying. I've taught us that over and again. Hallelujah. Learn to read together. Hallelujah. Read everything. And don't detach books from each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Bible is theology. The only way you know God is from the Bible. You can't know God from any other book. Permit me. You cannot know God from any other book. Just from the Bible. Hallelujah. And the goal of Bible study, as we said yesterday, is to find out what was in the mind of the author when they wrote. What was in the mind of the author, the writer, when he was writing? Knowing that there is a reason behind the reason why they wrote. And the reason behind the reason why they wrote is theology. Theology. Therefore, the author is vital. The text is also vital. And you are the reader. As a reader, you have to appraise the author. Hallelujah. So today you have to appraise both the author and the text together. Now the author is not available. Therefore, he has given his authority to his text. Hallelujah. The author is not available. If Moses was around, we'll have asked Moses some questions. But because Moses is not around, we're going to rely on Moses' text. And Moses' text is going to employ some techniques in writing, which as a Bible student will have to read well and understand it. Hallelujah. But in understanding, I must first of all see that the origin of words in the New Testament is found where? In the Old Testament books. Right? The origin of words in the New Testament books is found in the Old Testament books. Because I know that the New Testament writers were writing from the Old Testament books. Did you see that? Have we seen some of it? Did we see it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, hallelujah, they were writing from those books. Even Paul, because of we are limited in this teaching, in this class, so I will just run through some of these things. But I expect that you get a recent teaching on revelation of God. You know, what I'm teaching you today is from extract from that teaching. Some of what I'm teaching is from that teaching. Amen. From that teaching, so you can get the teaching is more elaborate than this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we did more, we were a bit more very detailed. And we'll continue during GPL 10 hours. Yeah, we still have places to go in that teaching. Okay. So the origin of words are from the Old Testament book, not from your contemporary language today. We're going to see a couple of it this morning and then later on in the afternoon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Peter says the last days, in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, I'll pour my spirit up, Acts 2 quickly. Thought I could run through this. Acts 2. He says, verses shall come to pass in the last days. So when people say last days, again, the origin of that word is in the Old Testament books. When you use the word last days, it's not talking about rapture. It's not talking about rapture. Please take note. One way you know it's not rapture is that he was explaining something that just happened. So you can't be talking rapture. So that means if you are calling last day's rapture, that means there is a problem with your definition. And that's why I say you must not give Bible words to be meaning. If not, you'll be like the young man who say he has got a revelation that he now know who Paul's father is. And I ask him, who is Paul's father? He said, Paul's father is the man that they hanged on the tree with Jesus. And I asked him why. He said, because Paul said my old man was crucified with Christ. You see, you cut the rema, right? Say my old man. So because Paul said my old man, the old man there was crucified. Who was crucified with Jesus? That is Paul's father. They should remove your brain and pour coconut water inside. Yeah, because it is not, I love how my pastor will say, Pastor Shegun, many times, he will say, the words are not as English as you think. Are not as English as you think. Amen. When Paul used the word old man, he was not referring to his father, he was referring to his old nature. Did you see that? I was using it to teach identification. He was learning to read scripture the Bible way. So the Bible language is to be used as Bible language. Why? Because language has evolved over time. But the truth of God's word never changes. Did you see that? So therefore, I must use Bible language Bible way. Hallelujah. And one way I must see the origin of what must be in the Old Testament, because that was where the New Testament writers were writing from. Hallelujah. So I mustn't give it to this meaning. No. No. Hallelujah. Many times, words, the origin of words will be found in the culture of their world. Will be found in the culture of their world. So there's nothing like a heavenly meaning. I want to clear that. There's not like an heavenly meaning to words. There's no heavenly meaning. Someone says, you know, I remember one time, still a younger Christian, but that then I was still in Sunday school. And our teacher now asked us, who can define hallelujah? And I raised up my hand. And I said, yes, ma'am, define hallelujah. I said, hallelujah is a heavenly language. I was very zealous. Say, hallelujah is a heavenly language. Say, how? He said, hallelujah is a heavenly language. There is nothing like heavenly language. There's nothing like heavenly meaning to words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is not an heavenly language, not an heavenly word. Like someone telling me, disciple is Jesus that coined the word disciple. I say it's not true. Disciple's multitude was a word that they knew in their world. So Jesus now told his people, make disciples, my own disciples. The same way the use of the word church, we're going to see it in the time of the afternoon. He said the word church. Was not Jesus that coined the word church? Ecclesia. No! It was a language in their world. So Jesus now said, I will build my own church, my own ecclesia, showing you that there are ecclesias too in the world that were not his. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. I'll build my own disciple. John had disciples. The Pharisees had disciples. Paul was a disciple of Gamaliel before he got saved. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, you mustn't give, there's not like heavenly meaning to words. For example, I guess I'm going to pause my notes somewhere here. Because I continue, it might take 10 hours. For example, the use of the word hate. Many times, when you look at that word hate, if you give it today's meaning, you might miss out in what scripture was using it to pass across. So that's why I mustn't give words today its meaning. For example, the use of, like I said, the use of the word hate. Right? Now, you hear things like God hated in scriptures. God hates. God hated. And you think, if you give it today's language, it will look as if God, there's darkness in God. But first of all, Jesus made us know, the scripture made us know that in him is light and there's no darkness at all. Hallelujah. So when you use the word hate, you have to read the hate in their world. Hallelujah. In their world. So in reading it in their world, you have to sit first in the seat of the first audience. Like my pastor would say, sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said to them, Luke 14, 26, quickly, you've heard this, so open your Bible. If a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and of his own life, he shall not be my disciple. Imagine. So you hate. So I don't give it today's language. I no longer provide for my home. I no longer take care of my children. Why? I want to serve the Lord. Is that what Jesus is saying? No. He now said, even hate your own life. Oh yeah, hate your life now. Did you do that? So you have to give it Bible interpretation. So when you use the word hate there, let's see this. When you use the word hate there, he was speaking about preference. Preference. So you must not prefer yourself, father, mother, children, wife above me. Amen. So he speaks of preference. He's not saying you should show them hatred. No. That is to say you must place me above them. Hallelujah. And he's not saying you shouldn't love them. Hallelujah. Amen. But you must prefer me. That's for the works it. You must prefer me above these things. Hallelujah. Even your own life. And Jesus demonstrated it to us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you see that? He demonstrated it to us too. That's love. That is how you must. Someone said, the Bible says, love your enemy as you, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He didn't say love your neighbor above yourself. I say you are daft because you don't understand English. He said love your neighbor as you love yourself. It means, how do you love yourself? Maybe I love myself like this. He has said, take that love from yourself. Take it away. Everything. Take it and put on your neighbor. That is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So automatically, when I take it from myself and put on my neighbor, what does that mean? I love my neighbor more than I love my... Simple. That's what it means. Take it and put on your neighbor. That's what it means. Amen. Glory to God. Stop saying nonsense. Love your... He said love your neighbor as well. He didn't say I love your neighbor above yourself. Please do. And what does that mean? I cannot come and die for anybody. There's nothing in scripture called self-love. There's nothing. I've never written. There's never self-love. Self-love means selfishness, walk in the flesh. You don't know? Self-love, sun kiss, moonshine. Amen. God help you. Listen, that love is not on in front of gates that they never bought. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And someone went to snap somewhere on the island, now it's London. Do you know the cathedral in Broad Street? I say it's London. Think it's anybody that would be daft like you. Amen. Amen. So, love there means to prefer. Hate there means to prefer less. That is, prefer me more. Hallelujah. Now you find similar thing in Romans chapter 9 for God about Esau and Jacob. Many people have read this in another form. I remember having to engage someone on this 2015 December. I had to engage someone on this 2015. Guy had some distorted view about it. And I try to show you from the scriptures. Now look at Romans 9. Amen. I'll start from verse 9. It says, I want everybody to, because some people have had tough time on that verse. So let's go there. Esau and Jacob. Let's go there. But this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now when you look at the word good or evil then, you mustn't read good or evil in your day. You see that? Is it that the purpose of God, according to the election I stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Mark that. The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What is God saying? Someone said, if God makes a choice, see the case of Jacob and Esau is God's choice. It's God's election. God has predestined some people to hell. Somebody predestined some people to is God. Is God loves you, loves some people. There are people that God hates from death. That was not what he's saying here. Hallelujah. That's not what he's saying here. Hallelujah. It's far from what he's talking about. They make it sound as if God does election like Nigeria 9-8. When they declare results, even if you go to Supreme, they call by the Supreme Act and the Supreme, Supremeness of God Supreme. But that mandate that has been gotten can never be taken back. We died here. Amen. look at some demons are laughing. God will judge you. Thought you were your pastor. When people are just so happy. Not that people are happy whenever Chelsea lose. They're always happy. I don't know how you will be happy that your pastor's team is losing. You should be praying. Yeah? The man that blesses you, you should pray that his team collect the champion. Okay, there's no Champions League. Huh? Okay, don't worry, we'll get Champions League. God bless you. Next year, these are here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's continue. But some people are laughing at us. They've never collected, they've never smelled the cup. Okay, let's get back to study. It's not only community sheep, it's morphogram sheep, you call it. Okay, in Romans 9, let's quickly look at this quickly. So some people make it seem as if God is doing political election. No. From the womb, some people put that, from the womb, God has chosen Jacob and has hated Esau. If you like, hit your head on the wall, up transformer, now God walk. They don't understand. But can we look at it together? What really did God do? Can we look at it together? So you have to look at your Bible now. Because we're going to go through scriptures together. Hallelujah. First of all, where is Paul reading from? Paul is reading two scriptures together. He's reading Malachi chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 25. Let's get to Malachi 1 first. Malachi 1. Hope you are with me. Paul is reading both Malachi, and Malachi is reading Genesis. So Paul is reading Malachi and Genesis. That's how you have to see. Remember I told you, every writer of scriptures were writing for Moses. So Malachi is quoting Moses, and Paul is referencing Malachi, who is referencing Moses. So they are writing together, right? So he reads both. You know what Malachi said in chapter 1, verse 2? He said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet say, wherein hast thou loved us? They asked, wherein hast thou loved us, O God? And God's response was not Esau Jacob's brother? This is a rhetoric. Saith the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. Did you see that? Did you see that? I have loved Jacob. Verse 2. And I hated Esau and laid his mountain and inherited waste for dragons of the wilderness. Did you see that? So he said, I have loved Jacob and hated Esau. Stop. Now, let's get to Genesis 25. Now, Malachi mentioned love and hate. But when you get to Genesis 25, as we see, you will not find God say he hated or loved Esau or Jacob. So we now have to know, where did Malachi pick hate from and love from? What about you? Where did Malachi pick hate and love from? That Paul will now write about. And then Paul will conclude it in verses 14 and 15. I decided not to read verse 14 and 15 of Romans 9 now, We'll read it, then we'll go to the conclusion and see how Paul concluded. We'll now see why Paul had that conclusion he had. Because Paul is reading well, the same way Malachi read well. You see that? But when you don't read well, you will think God used to hate people. And you will miss it all out. Do you get me? Now let's see that. Genesis, quickly. Let's watch to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Verse 23. It says, and the Lord said to her, which is, he says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of men, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one of, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. Don't mind my King James. And the elder shall serve the younger. Watch that. The elder shall serve the younger. Paul mentioned it. He said, Esau said, let the elder serve the younger. Paul mentioned it. Hallelujah. So that means Paul was also reading from here and also collaborating it with Malachi. I need you to have your... See, if you have been distracted, this is time to be focused. Look at what I'm saying word for word. Hallelujah. Now, from verse 23, did you see God say, anybody is hated or loved? No. So let's pick out where the hate and the love came from. Did you see that? Rather, he only said the elder shall serve the younger. He said, hey, hater will serve. Is that not hate? No. Let's see something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's see something. So at death, there was nothing like hate or like. But according to their custom, they had a custom of the, what is called the Bekorah. Listen here, the Bekorah. The Bekorah is the right of the firstborn. Where we hear the word birthright that Esau sold. Birthright. Many times people don't know what birthright is. Birthright in their world is used for one who stands in the stead of his father. I hope you are following me. The right of the first son. So that means if my father is a politician, the right of the first son is that when my father leaves the earth, I will take up my father's office. That is the right of the first son. So in their culture, if your father is the king, the first child becomes a king. That is their culture. Okay, following me. The father's that is the right of the first son. Then if the father's property is to be shared, if your father has 10 children, the property will be shared into 11. All the children will take one portion. Then the last portion that is left will now be given to the firstborn. So the firstborn takes the double portion. That's why you have double portion. Hope you are following me. Double portion. That's the right of the firstborn. Hope you are with me. So there is what is called the right of the firstborn. It's called the Bekorah. Now, who is Jacob's father? Isaac. Who is Isaac? A priest. A prophet. Why? Abraham was a prophet. Genesis 20, verse 17. Abraham is called a prophet. Isaac the first son, or Isaac the son, not Ishmael, was took on the father's position as prophet. You see that? Therefore, the right of the firstborn is going to be that of a priest, right? Stop. That of a priest. So now, according to their custom, who takes the right of the firstborn? Who? The first child. Right? Inevitably supposed to be who? Esau, right? Is it Esau? Who is the firstborn? Esau, right? So Esau is supposed to take the birthright. We said that Esau sold his birthright. So Esau said he doesn't want the Bekorah. That's what it means. Birthright is not chain. No. Birthright is not shoe. No. Amen. It's just that right of the first child. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go further. Now, when he now says, now what God said was that the elder will serve the younger. God was only spelling out. God was not saying Esau was going to be a servant to Jacob. No. He was only spelling out the obvious in their custom. That was their custom. The Bekorah. So when you look at what the elder shall serve, that word serve there is the Hebrew word abad. Abad. A-B-A-D. Abad. Abad is used for service. A priestly service. What are you following me? I guess we did detailed study on this, on revelation of God. Please get that teaching. It is 9 series, 1 hour, 50 minutes past. 9 sessions, no, 1 hour, 50 minutes per session. So I guess it's around the 7th, 8th or 9th session. Actually discussed. So you have to listen to it from the beginning. So imagine that whole series, I'm compressing it into one teaching. So you have to go back and listen. If not, you have to keep on it. Amen. So I listed out a number of things there. But we hear the word abad. Abad is a word used for one who ministers. One who stands in the priestly office. Watch it. One who stands in the office of a priest. Is used all through in the book of Leviticus for the Levites. In their offering. I mean, in their service in God's temple. Did you see that? Abad. In Genesis chapter 2, it's used for man in God's image. It says God's man is to dress and to keep the garden. Hallelujah. God put man in the garden to dress and to keep it. That word to dress there is the word abad. To dress and to keep it. Meaning it is man's responsibility to be. I mean, when a man is found in God's image, his responsibility is to go to God's back. So abad is used for how one serves in the priestly ministry. What about for you? So when God says the elder shall serve the younger, that was obvious in their custom. God is saying that Esau should be, not must be, should be, according to pari passu, should be found in the tax of the father. God is stating the obvious. What about for you? God is stating the obvious. And it was there. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said to us, when it comes to, I've told you that word predestination, God predestining people, is not a scriptural word, right? I also taught it in that series. Amen. They don't like predestination in scripture. But why God never said predestination? Rather, we found out that God can say something about you and that thing will fail. Because man has a role to play. Amen. God gave Adam instruction, eat and not to eat. Adam had a choice, so man had to play a choice. So God stated out the obvious, but man had to make a choice. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Man had to make a choice. So though we found God's election, but we're talking about their choices now that he made. So what was their choices? In their choices, Esau rejected it. How? If you read John chapter 3, the Bible says, I mean, chapter, where were we? 25, right? He sold out, verses 34. The Bible says Esau despised his birthright. He sold out his birthright. Did you see that? What was the birthright? Bekorah, right? Abad, a priest. Did you see that? He sold it out. So that rejection, just like you find in Cain and Abel, the Bible says God did not respect Cain's offering. That was to show that it was rejected, right? It was used to show it was rejected. It was used to show unbelief. Hallelujah. That is the writing style that we'll see in the second session. I guess after this, I should just round up, because if I continue everything here, we're not finished today. Hallelujah. But now, don't worry, after this, I'll round up. Amen. So, that hate there was not in Genesis, but we'll find out that Esau rejected his birthright. Right? So Esau will not be found in the service of God, in God's vineyard. Esau wasn't found. In fact, when the writer of Hebrews talk about Esau, Rabbi said he was a profane person. A profane person is one who speaks ill of sacred things. So the birthright was sacred, he spoke ill of it. He spoke part of it. Did you see that? So the saying of Bethel was not that he said, take the Bethel and go. No, Bible said he was a profane person, meaning he didn't speak right about that office. He had dishonor for the office. That's what it means. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. So now that rejection, or put it that way, that rejection of being found in God's vineyard is called hate. Is called hate. It's called hate. Now, because Jacob was found in God's tax, Jacob is loved. Did you see that? So the hate there is not that God had hatred for Esau. No. Was that because of their preference, this one has more preference. Remember, I showed you something for Jesus, from Jesus. He must hate father, mother, to have preference for the work of ministry. Did you see that? That was what Jacob did, and it's called love. This is called hate, because he loved other things more than what to be found in God's house. Did you see that? So hate there and love there was a product of their action. Hope you're following me. So when Malachi, listen, we're going to see how Paul concludes it now. When Malachi used the word hate, that was where Paul picked that word for me, hate, from. That word hate is from the Hebrew word sane. Not sane the player, sane. Which means to love less. It's a word used to show contrast, to show preference, to love less, to show preference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I get back to Paul in Romans chapter 9, hallelujah, Romans 9, verse 15. For he said, okay, I'll start from verses 12. It says, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Is that service in the Lord? Right? Then he now said, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, he carved that word to make you see that Esau was not found in that service. So that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, it just is a shorthand for all that happened from Genesis chapter 25, from verses 23 to verses 34. He captured it with Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why? Because Esau wasn't found in that which God had proposed that he should be in. But Jacob was the one there. So it was not Esau, but was Jacob. Hope you are saying it. Hallelujah. Then he now said in verses 14. What is it then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Did you see that? He says, for he said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the case of Jacob and Esau is actually that of God's mercy, forgiveness, and salvation. That's what is important there. Hallelujah. Mercy, forgiveness, and salvation. That's what is important. So it's not about God's choice, no, but it was about, the issue is not wrong about God's choices, but man's choice is to be found in God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and God's salvation, which Esau rejected. Hallelujah. So God's election, therefore, also deals with man's choices. Hallelujah. So, therefore, I put here, therefore, God's election is man's acceptance to God's forgiveness, mercy, salvation. Did you see that? To be found in God's stars. Hallelujah. So God's election also deals with man's acceptance. Very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, I mustn't see words as English as they appear. When Peter said last days, we'll get there later on. When Peter said last days, I must go back again to the origin of that word last days. and read it well and see what this Peter communicated when he said last days. We'll look at it in the second session and hopefully we'll be able to round it up. Hallelujah. What is Peter saying? What is Peter saying? Last days. Last days. What is the last days? Hallelujah. Learn something? Learn something? Hallelujah. When is it? When is it? Hallelujah. So we're going to look at last days in the session. Let's not feed our time, Lord.